And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Talk Shop. Dan Squire filling in today. It's Thursday, January the 12th. And joining us today is the interim president. We've been saying that for an awful long time.
That's right.
An interim president at College of the Redwoods, Dr. Goswami. Welcome back again, Doc.
Well, glad to be here.
You've had a long day.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. Been down to Sacramento. You got some news to report from there. Hopefully good news.
Well, I can't report on the news because the commission is going to deliberate and take action in private.
Right.
We will finally hear end of January as to what is the action they ultimately took.
Okay, and that deals
But I got my chance to talk about
it. And makes CR shine down in Sacramento. And that deals with accreditation. We've got a couple different issues to talk about. You've got some redistricting with your trustees and how that changes. We'll talk about the ongoing work that's being done on campus. We'll talk a little bit about enrollment and how things look for the spring. And, of course, you with your hat and whether or not that hat's going to be in the ring for the full-time position.
Sure.
All right. We've got Dr. Goswami from College of the Redwoods here on Talk Shop. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
And welcome back to Talk Shop. Dan Squire filling in today. I'm joined by Interim President, College of the Redwoods, Dr. Upal Goswami. And, Doc, you were down, and we'll start off right off the bat here. Accreditation is something we talked about.
We have been talking about it for a while.
Yes. It's
a long process.
It is. And it's also a very important process. Something that that I know you and your staff and the college in general work very hard on. And you were down to Sacramento today for one final presentation to assure the folks that in the community college system that CR is doing everything and, according to the way it should be to maintain its accreditation.
Yeah, one of the key issues that the visiting team was concerned about, whether the progress that we have made, whether it was a one-time progress or whether it's a progress that can be sustained.
Okay.
So basically, I kind of at least tried my best to reassure the commission that the progress that we have made over the last 7 or 8 months is here to stay, and that we're going to continue on that path of in the foreseeable future.
And when you talk accreditation, what are some of the baseline, some of the base criteria that they're looking at, and that from your standpoint, the school is lining up?
As far as the core business of the institution goes, we are doing very well.
Okay.
But accreditation also involves a whole bunch of other ancillary things. And some of those we haven't done very well in the past. Even now, this go around, there are some issues that they have pointed out. Again, these are not unique to CR. These are issues to almost all community colleges. One of them deals with how we assess and evaluate programs and how do we demonstrate effectiveness of programs.
Okay.
Second is whether all the various plans within the district are integrated together.
Okay.
So these are not necessarily things that will destroy the institution immediately if you don't do it very well, but if you don't do it over a long period of time, obviously, you know, it's not going to...
The State Commission is going to take notice.
Yeah. So those are some of the things we have mentioned. You know, I've tried to assure the Commission that that the path we have charted is sustainable and that we are on the right course.
Okay.
And we're continuing down the path that they have seen.
And you've been pretty optimistic. The last time you were here, we talked generally about accreditation and how the school is making sure it meets the state standards.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, as you brought up the last time, it's you also have to tailor that to the community.
That's right.
And that's why you say it's similar to a lot of the other campuses, but you're unique in your very own in your very own world. So there are different hurdles, just from the nature of where Redwoods is located and the student base and the support base.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, and when I was optimistic, clearly at some point in time when last February or March the what was in front of us was the possibility of a probation or a show cause, which are terrible things
okay.
to happen. I can pretty much be almost certain that we will not go there.
Okay.
We might get a warning that, no, you didn't do something very well.
And what are some of those things that you're not doing, and it's not a slam, but what are some of the things that the state will look at and say, well, you need improvement here?
Yeah, well, a couple of things that I can talk about is, one is this idea about assessing programs and outcomes.
Okay.
We're doing as well as anybody else. In fact, there is a target of fall of 2012 in which all the community colleges are supposed to reach a certain level of proficiency. And most community colleges are still struggling to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in no different boat than anybody else. Okay. We have made enough progress that I'm pretty certain that by fall of 2012 we'll be there.
Okay.
Some of the other issues deals with the matter of whether the board is exercising enough long-term vision for the institution. Because sometimes you get too focused on the short term,
mm-hmm.
and forget about the long term.
Gotcha.
So those are some of the things that they have pointed out.
Okay.
Clearly, nothing horrible.
Sure. Okay. We're not going to see the doors shut at the end of the year. And I know you want to reassure people that the doors are still going to be open and the classes are still going to be there.
And we'll still be an accredited institution.
Exactly. And you know, it seems very simple, but again, this comes down to funding. This comes down to what you can offer. So it's not a trivial issue. And it was very serious a couple years ago. The school was put on probation because it was not meeting accreditation standards.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we will not get there.
Okay. So the work on the interim has been pretty positive.
It's worked out pretty good.
All right. We've got Dr. Upal Goswami, interim president of College of the Redwoods, joining us here on Talk Shop. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
And welcome back to Talk Shop. We're joined by Dr. Goswami from College of the Redwoods. Doc, you just got back from Sacramento. Again, you went down there, made the final presentation in front of the State Commission of Accreditation. Very positive about that. And there's some other very positive things, but there's one issue that it's certainly escaped my attention. That you definitely wanted to touch on today, and that's the state redistricting, redrawing the maps of how the districts are going to be broken down in voting and that sort of thing. Congressional districts, state senate, state assembly, but that also affects the Board of Trustees.
Yes.
And what have you seen now that the redistricting maps are out and approved? How is that going to affect the Board of Trustees?
Well, this is how it's going to play out. The board will have the first chance or first crack at redistricting by itself.
Okay.
So they have, if the board is able to draw the maps or redraw the maps by March 1st, then that will be the redrawn boundaries of the board areas.
Okay.
One of the things that complicates matter for CR is that for whatever reason, for the last couple of census, the board voted not to redistrict. So as a result, the disparity among the population, among the various sub-districts,
has changed.
Has become quite significant.
Okay.
So we have some trustees with somewhere in the range of 5,000 or 6,000 population, and some trustees in the range of 40,000 population.
Gotcha.
And that kind of a disparity is not permissible in under the one person, one vote guidelines.
Okay.
So that's why this time we have to redistrict. And since not much has been done for the last 20 years or so, the impact will be substantial in terms of how far the boundaries have to move.
Okay.
Because certain districts will have to lose, certain trust areas will have to lose 20,000 people.
Right.
And certain trust areas will have to gain 15, 12,000 people.
Okay.
So that's why it's going to be a busy couple of months.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you've only got, 70 days
right here.
You know, we're already in January, we're in second week of January.
And so once the first tentative map is finalized, we will create a website where public can come in and provide input, because
okay. This
process requires public input.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly one of the things that's going to happen is that the perception that people elected trustees from specific areas, for example, Ferndale gets to elect a trustee, Fortuna gets to elect a trustee, Garville gets to elect a trustee, so on and so on.
Okay.
That will disappear because...
you're not going to have that. The boundaries are going to be bigger.
Bigger.
The areas are going to be bigger.
So there will be quite a bit of concern about whether Ferndale is going to lose its voice, or Fortuna's voice will be drawn by somebody else,
gotcha.
So on and so on and so forth.
Okay. Are you going to... Now, this isn't going to affect the number of seats on the Board of Trustees.
No.
It just means that...
The boundaries will be different.
The boundaries will be... And as you said, it'll be very different. If someone's living in Eureka, they're going to have a lot more constituents than if they're in the Eel River Valley. And
right. Some
of those constituents and how that's going to... So it does come down to the voice of the area that you represent. And I think we're fortunate in one sense is that the disparity in the needs of the community are pretty even across the county.
Mm-hmm.
And the needs or what the service that you're going to need from a trustee on the college board mm-hmm. is going to be very similar whether it's McKinleyville or
right.
Garverville.
But again, the feeling that whether the person is representing our neighborhood or somebody else's neighborhood.
Gotcha.
And I'm sure those concerns will come up.
Sure.
So we are hoping that sometime around the third week of January, the interactive website will be live. And I think the tool that we'll put out there will actually allow people to play around with the trustee areas to see what happens.
And we've seen this. It worked effectively with the Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors, right.
You know, that's the one.
We are using the same tool.
Yes, exactly. And it gives you a chance to go ahead and see, and like you say, play around with it and see how things are going to fit, because there are going to be some big changes.
Right.
Now, who is going to develop, what core group of people is actually working on drawing those boundaries?
Actually, the primary responsibility is the trustees.
Oh, really?
It's not me or not my staff.
Oh, okay.
We just help, in a support capacity.
Okay.
But we don't take an active role in drawing the boundaries.
Okay, so it's the board themselves.
It's the board themselves who have to say, well, let's move the line this way.
Okay.
Now, we can make little adjustments to follow the precinct boundaries or the block boundaries and things like that.
Okay.
But in terms of which way the line should be moved, that direction has to come from the board.
So we got redistricting not only at the state level and affecting federal elections, but also here with the Board of Trustees at College of the Redwoods.
Right.
Dr. Goswami is joining us today here on Talk Shop. We'll be right back after this.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
And welcome back to Talk Shop. We're joined by the interim president at College of the Redwoods, Dr. Upal Goswami. And Doc, all these subjects tie in together. Let's jump off. We're starting the The spring semester starts next Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. Actually, it begins officially on Saturday.
Right. Yes, some classes start on Saturday.
Yeah, you'll have some classes at the downtown Eureka site. And then the regular spring semester starts...
17th.
Yeah, on the 17th. And a quick update from you, what do enrollment numbers look like and class sizes, and how is that on the academic side, how are things looking?
Enrollment is picking up. We still have some open spots, so I will definitely urge folks who have waited till the last minute or didn't have the money to pay for school or whatever to kind of get in touch with the financial aid office to see whether they can enroll for spring.
Okay.
We have also added 10 more sections. We were pretty much on target as to where we need to be. But at the same time, I want to send a message out that our space is still available in at least 50% of the classes.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of...
But it's going to fill up very, very soon.
Well, I was going to say, this is the
week.
Crunch week. Right, this is the last week when you're like, your mom and dad are going, have you signed up for your class yet? Yeah. Oh, that's right, yes.
Right.
I got you. When you've expanded, what are some of the... when you're talking about you've expanded some of the classes, are you talking the core classes, English, math?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing?
Classes or sections that have pretty much filled out, we are adding more sections.
Okay. And those would all be, in the base course studies?
Base courses, right.
Okay.
Basic courses.
Have you seen, is enrollment still in line? Still those numbers are still up? You're not going to know.
No, we cannot be up because, remember, the state cut us by 500
That's
FTEs.
Right. That's true.
So
that's true.
We would like to be up, and we have the numbers to be up, but the point is we just don't have that many sections
to offer.
That's
the space.
That's the space issue.
Right. One of the things that's going to happen, and when students come back for the spring semester, there's also, things are a little bit different. Things look different physically.
Yeah.
On the campus, and this has been a theme. You've kept us pretty well, pretty well updated on some of the construction and the major capital projects. Mm-hmm. Where are things standing now as you get ready for the 2012 spring semester?
Well, students, when they come to campus, they'll see that the quad now looks very different because the superstructure of the two buildings are now up. So they'll see steel girders and beams and posts. On top of it, at the last board meeting, the board approved a spending plan or projects for the rest of the $10.5 million of the Measure Q projects that we're going to do. And that money will help us upgrade many of our ADA and safety issues. It'll help us renovate the ball fields.
Yeah, that was something else. And you brought that up the last time you were here. And that was something that was tentative. And then so you confirmed that the last time you were on. But that's a major project in and of itself.
That by itself is a major project. Plus the women's locker room area in our gym is in terrible shape.
Okay.
That has to be renovated. It's more of an equity issue because men's area was renovated about 2 years back.
Okay.
But we have not renovated the women's area. So
now, can I clarify something? You're going to redo the softball field, which was in that mini swamp. So that's going to make Maggie White awfully happy.
Yeah, the swamp has become higher.
Yeah, they're going to raise that swamp up a little bit, no doubt. It's when it rained, it did get very muddy back there. Now, you also mentioned the baseball field, but the baseball program has been suspended. Is that going to be incorporated as well?
It is. Our plan is, it was on suspension or hiatus for 2 years.
Okay.
And my plan is to hold true to my word and bring it back when it's supposed to come back.
Okay. No. And 2013?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that gives us the opportunity this year to kind of redo the field.
Okay.
And also, the board voted to renovate the site that we acquired in Garberville. So that bid went through.
Okay.
And we have selected the firm, the lowest bidder, which luckily this time turns out to be somebody local.
Yeah, and that's something that you thought. You get some feedback and people are like, why aren't you going to a local builder? And it's not that simple.
It's not that simple. You just can't go to local firms and say, well, you take it.
Yeah, you guys go ahead and bid.
We have to comply with the state bidding guidelines.
Okay.
And whoever's the lowest bidder ends up getting it.
Gotcha.
Now, I'm hopeful that the rest of the $10 million projects are smaller projects, like $500,000, $1.5 million kind of a size. So a lot of the local firms will be able to compete. because there are not too many $20, $30 million projects.
Sure.
That's why the bigger projects always ends up being...
For a bigger construction
bigger
company,
construction company which is
the
outside
area.
Of the area.
Gotcha.
But for, I'm hoping that the rest of the projects are smaller in size, which will be right within the ballpark of the local firms. So I'm hoping that all of our subsequent projects will go to local firms.
There you go. We've got Dr. Goswami from College of the Redwoods joining us on Talk Shop today. We'll be right back after this to wrap up today's episode of Talk Shop. Be right back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
And welcome back to Talk Shop. We're joined by Dr. Goswami, the interim president of College of the Redwoods. And Doc, it's become our running gag here, because mm-hmm. That interim tag's been on for, what, a year now?
In March, it'll be a year.
Oh, yeah.
But the process is underway for the board in their search process for the permanent president, superintendent. And obviously, I'll be an applicant.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you finally, that hat is in the ring.
Yes.
All right.
And the process will unfold. I'm staying out of the process.
Well, of course.
I'll be just like any other candidate
for
the position.
Now, if you're not hired as the president, you remain with the school, correct?
Yes. I have a position as vice president.
Okay. That's what I thought. Now, and this is something I was talking about with the boss earlier when we were kind of going, you know, how is this all going to plug in? Now, the job offer is out there. You know, mm-hmm. folks are going to be applying to be the president of College of Redwoods. One of those applicants is going to be you. What's the timeline now?
The committee, okay. which comprises of board plus faculty staff, will narrow down the field for telephone or Skype interviews.
Okay.
And following that, they will pick a list of a few finalists who will make public presentations, who are the community and the faculty and staff will have a chance to meet with the candidates. And then the board will decide.
Now, is there a deadline? Is there a date that they're aiming for and hoping to have it,
Tentatively by April.
By April. Okay, so this is going to happen pretty quickly then.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if the new selection is made, say it is in April, when does that person take over? When is it effective? Is it effective the next day or is it the next school year?
I think it is negotiated between the board and the person.
And the hiree. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. And you've seen this process before. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've been an applicant before. How many people are we talking about would see that job listing on an academic board and say, that's something I'd be interested in? What kind of feedback would they get?
From my past experience, typically you might get up to 30, 35 applicants.
Really?
Of which 10 are probably long shots that they wouldn't even come out of the HR review in terms of minimum qualifications.
Okay.
So there might be a viable pool of about 20, from which they typically interview about 8 or 10 for first round, and then about 3 or 4 in the second round.
For that final. And is it generally folks that are within the system throughout the state, or are there folks that, you know, maybe somebody in Massachusetts or Kentucky says,
It is possible that occasionally you'll get people from outside.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But normally, again, somebody who has experience within the state system, you know, is going to have an advantage there as well.
The board will obviously take that into account.
Sure, sure. And when, you've been doing this for a while,
mm-hmm.
not in a sense to ask you to sell yourself, but what is the board looking for in that position? Some of the skills that you have or someone else, what are you guys bringing to the table that the board's going to say, hey, you know what, that's going to fit with our needs?
I think given the history of the institution over the last 6 or 7 years of the turmoil and lack of stability and lack of ability of people to work together, I think one of the qualities I'm pretty sure the board is going to look at is whether this person is able to work with the various constituencies well, so that the potential of the institution is maximized.
Okay. And what does the resume look like? I mean, it's so far outside my job experience. But what would a resume look like? You look at someone who's a former professor, someone who got into administration.
It could be either somebody from the academic area or somebody from the student services area. Could be an advisor or counselor who moved up to be a dean of students, from there to be the vice president of student affairs. Occasionally you have people from the administrative services area. Who have handled the facilities and then budgets and then vice presidents for finance and so on.
Okay. So it's a pretty wide spectrum there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm sitting here thinking, guys with, maybe it's the professor who's been doing this, but it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Somebody who's had to work in that services area fits in very well, too. It's the overall view of the school.
Yeah. Typically, if you look at the profile of presidents, about 55-60% are from the academic side.
Okay.
And the rest are from service areas.
Okay, more administration. All right, we're talking with Dr. Goswami here on Talk Shop today. Anything else, Doc? Any other good news you want to report?
Well, I wish all our listeners a happy and prosperous New Year.
Yeah, you haven't been here since the first. That's right.
Yep.
And how did your New Year go? Good holiday?
Good. And I did something interesting. After all the talk about Arcata Square, I drove up to Arcata Square at 12 o'clock.
and there was nothing happening. It was Gordon Ollie. It was you and five cops.
Yeah.
Nobody trying to climb the statue. And it's like, wow.
Right.
But good for Arcata, I tell you. In lieu of having to repair $30,000 in damage, that was the smartest thing they could have done.
This was good.
That was the smartest thing. Dr. Goswami, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
That was Dr. Goswami, College of the Redwoods, joining us here on Talk Shop. That's it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.